Let's face it, I'm not going to stop treating myself anytime soon, and neither should you. But what I should stop doing is paying for me time with whatever random credit card is in my wallet. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times the points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? Honey, is it like a gorgeous free flight that you would have had to have paid for, but honey, you're saving that flight money? Is it a gorgeous room upgrade? Is it like a gorgeous like two-bedroom suite instead of a one-bedroom suite, so your like in-laws or like your friend could stay over there in that room so you don't have to like hear them doing whatever with what they're doing in your guys' room? Is it like really adulting? Oh, I love adulting. And you know what else I love? Is not waiting to make smart financial decisions. I also love paying my credit cards off in full every month because, like, yes, good credit. So let's, like, do try to do that and, like, making responsible decisions, which we love. But anyway, don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Let's face it, I'm not going to stop treating myself anytime soon, and neither should you. But what I should stop doing is paying for me time with whatever random credit card is in my wallet. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times the points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? Honey, is it like a gorgeous free flight that you would have had to have paid for, but honey, you're saving that flight money? Is it a gorgeous room upgrade? Is it like a gorgeous like two-bedroom suite instead of a one-bedroom suite, so your like in-laws or like your friend could stay over there in that room so you don't have to like hear them doing whatever with what they're doing in your guys' room? Is it like really adulting? Oh, I love adulting. And you know what else I love? Is not waiting to make smart financial decisions. I also love paying my credit cards off in full every month because, like, yes, good credit. So let's, like, do try to do that and, like, making responsible decisions, which we love. But anyway, don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Darling, I was on a vacation recently and stayed at an Airbnb, and then I realized that while I was away, my empty house could be making money, honey. If you're someone like me that is busy and not home all the time, your home could be an Airbnb, and it's actually pretty simple to get started. Even if you don't have a whole house, you could start with just a spare room. Personally, I really enjoy staying at Airbnbs. I really do. I love a good Airbnb. Who is that? Come back, British you. And it really is a great way to like support local economy and support local people. So Airbnb is fabulous. And I know I was doing my British voice earlier, but we love Airbnb. So think about what you could do with some extra cash, whether you're looking to treat yourself to something nice, like a shopping spree or a spa day, or start a whole side hustle. Airbnb can help you be that person. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Getting Curious. This is Jonathan Van Ness. It's only going to take about 30 minutes for you to expand your baby brains with me. This week, we are asking Andrew T., host of Yo, Is This Racist? What do white people need to know about racism in 2018? Welcome to Getting Curious. This is Jonathan Van Ness. And our guest this week is Andrew T., host of Yo, Is This Racist? Writer, comedian?
Yeah.
Well, you're funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe you don't do stand-up, like, or do you have you ever done stand-up?
I don't do stand-up. I've been trying to, I do, like, I will occasionally get on stage and tell stories from my life, usually narking out members of my family.
So, storyteller.
Yeah.
I love that.
I feel bad because I don't consume enough storytelling, so I feel bad. Like, I'm not part of the community.
Yeah, I only
of
like
those
to hear
folks.
Myself talk about it. Yeah. I don't want to go to those shows.
Yeah.
I just want to hear
me.
Myself.
It's
yeah,
not for me.
For sure. So, you guys, I was minding my own business, and like just a second ago, and Andrew walks in here, and that thing happened where I was like, oh my God, you have such amazing volume in your hair. Like, when did you get a haircut last? Have you ever had long hair? Has it ever been on your body?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wish you guys could, you have to like follow his Instagram or something so you can see him. Like, I think we should do an Insta story vote.
Oh yeah. All right. Do we want, I'm going to,
Oh my God, I'm going to do it right now. So guys, I'm recording my podcast. This is Gorgeous Andrews. He is our guest this week. We love him so much. He is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. I want him to grow his hair really long. Do you guys think he should grow his hair out? What do you think? We're going to do a vote. Okay, cue bye. Oh, wait. Maybe I won't post that now.
Just
and
save
I'll post it.
It
when it comes out. And
we have discovered marketing.
I think like in time with podcasts. So you guys, the question for me this week is basically, what do white people need to know about racism in 2018? That's our question. It's big. We're going to unpack it. We're going to go there. But
this is my jam.
Right?
Is it my jam? I don't know. It's either my jam or the most consistently depressing shit that's in my life at all times.
Well, do you think that that is in direct correlation to the campaign of 2016 and the election of Donald Trump? Like, do you feel that you're having to kind of, you know, defend more and educate more now than you did in Barack's era?
I feel like, I don't know if it's counterintuitive, but the other side of the coin is it's a little bit less even. Like, certainly less defending, I feel. And here's the caveat I want to put on top of all this, because I'm going to say some very general things. But the caveat is shit wasn't that great under Barack Obama either.
Right.
But, you know, when we generally felt more safe or racism felt more covert – it felt like, well, two things happened. One is it was a little funnier to talk about racism, but it was also more like everyone was a little more carefree. Now that
because we had a safe leader.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not just a leader. I think it's I mean, look, it's like so obvious to say, but like, you know, he sets an example that or sets a tone, because it's not like, you know, because people will argue like, oh, is Donald Trump racist, right? It's sort of irrelevant. I feel. I mean, and also, you know, you can argue about what racism, the definition is. Like, he might in his heart not, I don't know, hate black people or whatever. But it's sort of irrelevant because all his actions allow people who do, even in however, you know, whatever schema of racism you want to argue. You know, KKK people are like, yeah, we get him.
Yeah,
he's
totally.
He's one of us.
Well, and I also think that Donald Trump, he gets confused and like, well, because like he's classist and racist.
Yes.
You know, so there's both.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes when people are like classist and they're like, I'm not racist. I just don't like different colored people and people with no money.
Right. I don't like – well, but – so that is sort of an argument. That was a big thing. Class, not race is sort of – what was a – you know, and it's an argument you would hear in on the other side of the electoral, you know, politics. Like Bernie folks, you know, very much in a way – yeah. And I should say I kind of – I'm fairly agnostic about anyone sort of left of, you know, whatever – John McCain, maybe. I'm like, fine, just anything, but I'm
okay, like, wait, I just have to unpack, like, because you just said, like, seven, like,
sure,
like
sure.
A lot of, like, $5 words.
Yeah, okay.
I'm kind of agnostic about anyone left of John McCain. Agnostic means, like, you don't really believe. You're not sure.
Oh, right? As in, I don't, I don't really vote, or I voted, but I didn't care. I don't care very much about things like the Democratic primaries. Like, I'm like, everyone's fine. Bernie's fine. Hillary's fine. Everyone's fine. You know, they all have their problems, but I'm fairly, like, pragmatic, possibly in kind of a cowardly way. I'm just like, yeah, good, good, good.
Yeah.
Like, as long as they're, like, moving the needle away from what the government we have now.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm fine with it. So let me just say that.
But you know what I think about that? You know what I think about that?
Go for it.
I'm super worried, and I'm also not addressing racism here, but what I am addressing
is... Well, it's all the same thing.
I'm worried that... the Democratic Party is getting so left that we're going to alienate all of those like Midwestern dum-dums who got Trump in.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we need like an electable Hill as mm-hmm. far as her centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like ain't no middle American mommies and daddies going to vote for free college when they don't have no money to like go to the movies.
Yeah.
Is my fear.
Yeah. I think... that's probably – I think the very reasonable balancing act is how to convince those people that things like, you know, fine, you don't like the word socialism or like, you know, single-payer healthcare, but it's – those things would be good for those people. So, like, whatever fucking spoonful of sugar gets them to
understand that is
fine.
Yeah, and whoever can, like, give us a spoonful of sugar in, like, a way that'll get people to go vote for them, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Because we just need, like, kind of an orator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Someone who can, like, tell a story.
Yeah.
Because Barack could tell a story and Hill couldn't. And then the story that Donald is... Oh, my God. So, but...
Right, it's a story. So, I guess, so what I mean, though, is, like so when you say class, not race sort of thing, I actually think Donald Trump does a good job of putting the lie that statement is, you know, it makes it very clear. Because he, you know, sorry, let me start from the very beginning of my train of thought, which is that, like, class and race are so inextricably linked that, to me, they are the same thing. And when you, I do think when you make the argument class, not race, what you're really doing is carving out a pretty specific exception for poor white people when you say that. Like, because that, it's like, well, make sure that these poor white people are taken care of or something. But those people, when they vote, are like, yeah, we like white people best. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. It's like, and Donald Trump proves that, right? It's like he cares about disenfranchised, you know, steel workers, coal miners, white folks.
I think that's an interesting point. I would be interested to see people who voted along the lines of income. You know, because obviously, like, if you're homeless and you are an American citizen, you would be able to vote. I wonder...
They make it really hard for that, actually.
Can you vote if you're homeless?
It's very hard to vote without an address. It's almost impossible.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's the thing. But so that's the thing.
Because I feel like Americans who are, like, impoverished probably did overwhelmingly vote for Trump, you know, that were, like, technically be impoverished, like, aren't, like, because, you know, like, with that whole, like, class thing. I guess when I say class, not race, I see, when I was saying that, like, I see that as, like, someone like Donald Trump would be equally disdainful of a poor white person as he would a poor black person, as he would a poor Mexican person. Like, he would just, like, if you're poor across the board, he's not having it, in addition to not having it if you're outside of color. And also, I would say that growing up in the middle of America, I feel like I saw a lot of people who came from nothing that were white be treated very similarly to people who were of color and came from nothing. Like, I did see, you know, similarities is a child there.
I think, like, true in practice, not in rhetoric. I think, like, when obviously Donald Trump isn't letting any poor people anywhere fucking near his body. Like,
no.
They have germs and they are stupid in his estimation. Yeah. But his rhetoric, his tale is that if you're a poor white person, it's because brown people have taken your jobs and opportunity. And if you're a poor black person, brown person, Muslim person, whatever, it is because you are bad.
And, like, because your own people, like, did this to yourselves or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he does say that, because he'll be like, you know, like, what do you black people have to lose in voting for me? Because you're all, like, dying of gun violence and stuff. Like, in inner city Chicago, when it's like, you literally wash your hands of, like, the reason, like, we have such a part to play in, like, why it even got like that. Like, white privilege is such an issue of, like, how inner city Chicago... And lots of inner cities even got to the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can't absolve yourself of that as a white person.
Yeah. The thing is, the poverty is linked. It's the cause of many of these, you know, poverty into desperation, into nihilism, into...
What's nihilism mean?
Just not giving a fuck about the future or anyone else. Or having that be part of your life. Like, you're just like... You know, it's not like...
So sorry, when I say Fox News.
Every... Yeah. Well, I made a joke on Twitter about how it's ironic that, like, Christianity, you know... this was during the Roy Moore stuff. I was like, you know, it's a little intense that the world's major religion is, like, a nihilist death cult. And got a little bit of flack on that.
Did
one.
You?
Well, whatever.
A few stern replies.
Not from anyone I care about, so it's fine.
But because, like, you were, like, saying, like, it's sad that our biggest religion... Yeah, because, like, a bunch of, like, hardcore right-wing Christians are, like, a nihilist death cult. Like, if you're not, like, getting in and fitting in, they are not about it.
And they embrace the end of the world. It was when all the
floods and
fires. The Israel stuff was going on. They're, like, their plan... is apocalypse. That's their good endgame.
That is true, because, like, once Israel's a state,
yeah,
and we get all these crazy floods and fires and shit,
and then they get to go to heaven. That's the plan. That's plan A. That's the crazy thing. It's like, it's very hard to reason with that, because what do you say? Like, hey, dog, what if after, just throwing this out there, what if after the apocalypse, or what if after a nuclear war, you don't get taken to heaven? What if that is the case?
I hope we, well, my heaven would be so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ali Raisman, 2012 and 2016 Olympic gold medal gymnast, mm-hmm. would be, like, the president mm-hmm. of my heaven. And she would be great. And I would also do her hair. And, like, we would be everywhere. And I'd have, like, the nicest boyfriend who, like, mm-hmm. really understood, like, my dual spirited nature mm-hmm. and, like, embraced mm-hmm. it completely and also wanted to, like, bang me slash get banged by me, like, mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that asking so much?
Do you have a sort of, like, cloudy robes heaven in mind, or just sort of
did
like
you see Gladiator?
Did I? I did when I was a kid. It's
remember when he was like, well, it was
just
kind
like
of
a
sad
because field, right?
Yeah, and it was like his wife and kid like hadn't,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, and they're all like, and he's all like, his hands are like, you know, dusting the wheat fields, and it's all like olivey and gorgeous.
Yeah,
that my heaven looks like that, except for there's wheat everywhere, and then like Ali Raisman's the president, and then and then people are wearing like present day clothes.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
want like fucking like Greek robes.
I just feel like
I want sweats.
A toga would be a real pain in the ass,
and like no support.
Right?
Yeah. So, oh man, is that 15 minutes? Okay, that was just 15 minutes. All right, that was just 15, right? Yeah. Okay, cute. We'll be right back.
We got the flag from togas.
Right back. Can't talk. I'm too excited to think about Ali Raisman. More Getting Curious after this. Welcome back to Getting Curious. This is Jonathan Van Ness. And then, so, all right.
Mm-hmm.
What do white people need to know about racism in 2018? Essentially, I'm going to recap what we just said.
Yeah.
Well, what I think that you just said. What I think you just said was is that, like, stuff was still fucked up when Barack was the president. But mm-hmm. when we had, like, you know, a graceful, aware president that was leading the country, it didn't seem as as unsafe.
It didn't seem as bad.
Yeah.
And objectively, things are worse now. But the part of – so a couple galling things about the present day for – and I should take a teeny tiny quick sidebar to say, so I'm Chinese American. Things for East Asian folks are different than some of the larger things I'm talking about. You know, there are fucking alt-right people who are Chinese. Like, it is – you know, Asian America is complex, but much of this rubric is the same, but just wanted to give that a little asterisk. Part of it is like how surprised white people are in 2017, 18. It's like, yeah, okay, it's nice. Here's the thing I've been saying a lot on my podcast, which is like, look, it is undisputably nice to have you on the team and nice that everyone's getting woken up. But there is a little like kind of like, oh, I discovered this thing from white people getting woke these days. That's a little like, okay, again, welcome to the team. It is a little depressing that you weren't on the team before to this extent, but okay, fine. But you're
Cora
not.
Cora Hemplo, like, give me an example.
I mean,
like, you're minding your own business and then, like.
I mean, the Women's March, I think, was a, you know, the big example of that, which is like, you know, so Women's March, excellent. Great thing. You know, our president is, you know, extremely misogynist. The party that supports him is hugely misogynist. But, you know, during the Women's March, a picture that kind of got out there was a black woman holding a sign that said something like, whatever it was, 63% of white women voted for Donald Trump, which is true. So the thing with that is like, and that was a very divisive image and statement. You know, a lot of people are like, this is not the time to attack women. You know, white women are largely were like, this is not the time to attack women. And women of color are like, yeah, but you attacked us. Remember when 62% of you voted for Donald Trump? I think it's a thing where like the thing I would like for white people to think about, especially people who are starting to care or have always cared, is that like it's not like an existential diss on you to point stuff out like 62% of white women voted for Trump. It's fair to be like, yeah, that's fucked up. We need to think about our own community. I mean, it's a thing. People write into my podcast, the like haters and trolls, and will say things like, "You're devaluing the word racism when you call so many things racist. Like, it doesn't mean anything anymore." And I think the opposite. It's like, we live in a society that's underpinned by racism, and the more we can kind of, it's like this thing, and the other side of this coin is, do you know the musical Avenue Q?
Of course.
There was a song called Everyone's a Little Bit Racist. And that is the other side of what I'm saying, which is like, that is sort of gleefully devaluing the word racist. And the middle ground is like, yeah, it's lots of stuff is racist. It's fine to call yourself racist or realize that you have all these things in your brain that are not your fault or whatever. And then the twist on Avenue Q is the answer is not shrug your shoulders and say, oh, well, it's, yeah, we all have a ton of fucking work to do. You know, everyone has some kind of privilege, you know, be it whether you're male, cisgender, maybe, you know, straight, able-bodied, you know, in any number of ways. Like, everyone has something that they are insensitive about. And it's just, like, not so bad to realize it's a process and not, like, a label. Like, not racist, woke, racist. Like, it's fine. It's a process. Just try to get better.
It's, like, approach it with, like, gentleness and love versus, like, being, you know, judgmental and harsh.
Well, yeah, a little bit. I think it's okay to be judgmental and harsh if you realize, like, you can step back from it. And, like, and when people are maybe harsh to you, think about where they come from and take it for what it is.
So I just don't think that being judgmental and harsh, like, moves the conversation forward, especially when it comes to race.
Yeah, but sometimes it's necessary, I feel. Like, for instance, the you know, let's just go back to the example, the woman at the Women's March with the sign that said 62% of women. You know, that's very harsh and very judgmental. It's not, I think, you know, and it did turn people off, but it also woke some people up. You know, white women, white feminists is a thing. You know, like, people clown on Lena Dunham a lot, right? Like,
I didn't mean that she was harsh. Mm-hmm. I mean that, like, as a white person seeing that sign, like, you have to approach yourself with gentleness and compassion about that, as opposed to being mm-hmm. like, fuck, you know, we suck and, like, we are, like, the worst. And, like,
right.
You know, and you just feel, like, all bad. And, like, that doesn't move the conversation forward. Like, mm-hmm. for yourself, you know, like, you know, feeling bad or guilty about it, like, you know, you have to take ownership of it. And I think mm-hmm. that you can do that in, like, a loving, more gentle way, mm-hmm. you know, and especially, like, to people that would see that image and, like, talk shit to the person posting the image or, like, you know, be all, like, vitriolic and hateful and saying, like, you know, how you're divisive and this isn't the time to whatever. Like, you can approach the person, which is what you just said, you know, mm-hmm. be compassionate and, like, see, like, where that mm-hmm. person is coming from and, like, why they would make that sign, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera.
I think you can do a little of both, too. I think it's, like, it's okay for guilt or self-recrimination or harshness to yourself to be part of your process. You know, everyone feels if, you know, I fuck up all the time on, you know, in all life. You know, I'm a straight male. Like, I say all kinds of things that are wrong about, you know, I'm usually right on race, but I'm not always. Like, you know, I fuck up all the time. And the moment someone tells you you fucked up, you feel bad and guilty and, you know, there's a, you know, embarrassed. And that is okay. I think the thing is a little bit is to embrace that that is part of a reaction and power through that, you know, learn to power through that as best you can. I think that's, like, a big important thing where it's just like, it's okay to fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what I, you know, I've been trying to formulate some version of this for Yo, Is This Racist, which is like, it's not doing something that is quote-unquote racist that makes you a bad person. It's how mad you get after someone points it out. You know, you have an option. You can double down. You can tell them they're an idiot. You can argue with them. Or you can accept it and just be like, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, or whatever yeah. helps in the moment.
Yeah.
But it's not so much about the moment. It's really like, what kind of fury do you – and who needs the fury?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, getting past it is the best version yeah. if you can.
Yeah. That's sage advice. So for, like, yeah. yeah, like,
and it goes for any criticism.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, this week we had something like, you know,
with Donald at that closed door meeting with the senators about DACA, and him saying that, you know, why don't we have anyone from Norway coming over? And, you know, but then these shithole countries, which so happened to be Haiti and I think Nigeria
and El Salvador. About, like, oh, okay. I didn't realize it was that specific. I thought it was just like, I remember, like, Africa as a concept.
He said, like, El Salvador, Haiti. He's like, what about all these shithole countries like Haiti and El Salvador and Africa? Why don't we have anyone from Norway? And then I was listening to this congressman, Paul Gossman was his name. He's a Republican congressman who I definitely added him on my Insta story. And he was saying that Donald Trump wasn't racist when he said that it was Haiti and El Salvador and Africa they didn't want because those countries have lawlessness and, like, bad government that's running them, and that's why he doesn't want people from those countries, not because they're racist.
Yeah. Which is so,
and so I was like, you dumb fuck, like, Jesus loves us, and, like, as you're a Jesus-loving person, so you say, like, it's your job as a Christian to, like, help people in need and, like, give them, you know, help and love, like, when they need it, and because these countries are, especially El Salvador, are largely lawless, well, not largely lawless, but, like, rampant crime and murder and, you know, drug trade is a huge fucking issue, and they need a safe place, and we're, like, unceremoniously, like, kicking 300,000 you know, whatever. So what did you think about that whole thing?
Yeah, it's so, like, I mean, yeah, there, and then, you know, so many people in the media were at the point where, or sorry, the racist media, we'll call them, the Fox News, the Tommy Laurens of the world, were like, those places are very poor or war-torn. Like, wouldn't you call that a shithole? Like, it is so, like, you know, that's the quote-unquote cleverness of the alt-right, the right wing. It's like, well, two separate tracks. One is like, let's not address why those places are poor. That is, you know, the West's fault. That is white people's fault. Haiti in particular. It's like, yo, that shit is like America's fault. But also, like, the idea of, like, looking at poverty and desperation and thinking shithole and then hand waving that away. Like, that's the thing. Like, every one of those arguments turned on the idea of, like, well, we'd all call it a shithole, right? And it's like, no, only a racist or, like, at best, like, someone, an evil person.
Yeah, just, like, extremely cold and calloused. And, like, not at all, you know, I don't think of myself as, like, a Bible-thumping person, but I did grow up, like, in a, you know, very Christian house. I went to Christian sports camp, like, for, like, a month every summer for, like, 10 years. So I'm very familiar with, like, what the Bible says. And it's just not at all congruent. Like, those reactions are, like, not at all congruent with, you know, what they claim to be.
You're right.
Which is really just so awful. What did you think about, you know, ICE conducted, like, over, I think, 100 early dawn raids on 7-Elevens across, you know, the country. That's just chilling. I mean, there's a 7-Eleven, like, on my street, and I don't know about the people that work there, but they're all, like, super fucking nice, and they're, like, a part. That's, like, you know, our version of a bodega.
In L.A., that's so funny.
And I was really heartbroken with that story. And it just sets, like, such a, I don't know, it just really, like, there, like, I don't know for sure, but I can't imagine, like, MH16 or whatever, like, that El Salvadorian gang is that he's always talking about. I can't imagine that they're, like, running a lot of shit out of 7-Eleven. I can't imagine that the people working at 7-Eleven are doing anything other than sending money back to their families and, you know, just really kind of helping the economy, too, along with it. And I'm sure paying taxes because they have, like, fake social security. So it's like,
Undocumented immigrants pay billions of dollars in taxes.
Right.
They are a huge driver of our economy.
And so I don't know if, like, I don't want anything bad to happen to them, but it's like, I wonder, you know, because Donald Trump keeps doing these things to appease his base, but, like, does he not realize that, like, the, you know, all those farmers that need, you know, migrant workers that are undocumented, and then, like, by deporting them, like, who's going to pick the fucking stuff in the fields that, like, your farmers, like, voted for you so that they could, like...
Oh, not only the farmers. It's like, I mean, right. Like, here's the logic that you have to be a poor Trump voter. It's like, okay, I got my steel plant. My coal mine isn't, you know, giving me the hours anymore. Maybe it got shut down by those liberals in the EPA or whatever. And the job that's being stolen from me is, like, picking strawberries for sometimes sub-minimum wage in the fucking California. You know what I mean?
What, like, do you think needs to happen for Trump voters
to realize that they're being manipulated?
I mean, so that's why, and look, I know my worldview is centered on race, but that's the big difference between, well, so one small caveat to that too is like, poor white people didn't vote for Trump in as big proportions as middle class and upper class white people. So that is a thing. Like we, you know, and this is maybe where the classism comes in. Like we, but all people, like assume that poor white people are the, and they did vote for Trump in large proportions, but not as large as richer white people.
Which is because they were voting with their pocketbook. Like yeah, they were like, he's going to lower taxes and Hillary was probably going to raise them. So that's probably, that's my guess of like why that would happen.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, so.
Because it wasn't that they liked Donald Trump. They just liked his tax policy better than.
I mean, maybe. I think, you know, the last study I saw, which is that like the single most, you know, predictive factor in whether someone voted for Trump was racism. You know, every other, you know, or like subscription to a white supremacist philosophy. Like that more than anything else, more than income, more than, you know, anything else predicted who voted for Trump.
And while I can't speak to that study definitively,
sure,
I can tell you that like in my Equinox in Brentwood, I was with these three guys, like a week after the election, and like one is like this like 60-year-old Jewish man. The other guy is like this 50-something business owner, and then the other one is this like hot as fuck, like beautiful, like 6'6", like Charles Barkley looking motherfucker. I love him; he's so pretty. But all three of them were Trump voters,
yeah,
and they all voted for him because of they wanted taxes to go down.
Sorry, yes, I should add the caveat that when I say racism, it's just like, you know, the survey questions were things like, "Do you believe that you know, black people and white people work as hard?" You know what I mean? Like very
they. Or like
subconscious stuff.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? So sorry. Yeah, that sort of racial animus built as a pattern.
Right.
Not like, do you burn crosses on black
yeah,
people?
Yeah, I can like, you know, I feel like I could subscribe to that.
Yeah, it's sort of just like even the let's call it mildest, although that, you know, that ranking things like that probably has its own like logical problems.
Yeah.
But like, so the mildest of like, you know, like believing that everyone in America has a fair shake.
Yeah.
Which I would say is a racist belief.
Yeah, that's a fucking racist belief. And my grandma would have for sure been like, everyone can do that. I'm like, and I can't even.
Yeah.
I mean, and also I can't do that because she's dead.
Sure. Her racist ghost is out there.
But you know, honestly, my grandma, she was like, she was from like Raleigh. She was born in like 1932.
Yeah.
She was like one of the first women to like, literally one of the first five women to get an academic scholarship to Duke. Like she was, she was really, really interesting. I loved her, but she was absolutely a little racist. And there was just, you know, she would have never like said that. And I had a person of color as my first partner and she like loved him, but she, still absolutely would have said that like most people have a fair shake and like it like and if she was alive I think she would have said that.
And you know what, and I so like I do sometimes think it's important to look at those people's perspective. I get it. If you fucking lived through the civil rights movement, you would think we have made so much progress that things are I'm cognizant of people who are like, you don't fucking know what it was like in the 50s. Like things are better for like black people or whatever than any time before.
Yeah.
Like But so I get that. I just think it's like the idea that things are equal is absurd.
No,
still,
of course. So. But also, I think that's also like, and I know that we're past 30 minutes, but I can't help it. I got to get it out. It's like people that, like my grandmother and like my grandfather who's still alive, you know, my dad, they live in little rural towns. And I think it's very difficult for those sorts of people to, say, go to, like, East Los Angeles and experience what it would be like, you know, or Watts or South Central or wherever. And know, and, like, they do not have the visceral experience. It is very much not the same fair shake.
Yeah.
You know, so that's that. Andrew, that was 30 minutes. I hope that white people who are willing to listen to this, I'm sure we were preaching to the choir, y'all, but share it with someone who isn't.
But also, so, like, just because you're in the choir doesn't mean you're perfect. So, like,
yeah, you're not.
It's okay to interrogate the things that you do wrong. And it's okay to feel bad for a second, but don't feel bad for too long when someone, you know, it's fine. You can fuck up. Everyone can fuck up.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I probably did it 18 times today. I'm like, so sorry. And then, Andrew, where can people find you? What's your tweets? What's your Insta?
Well, of course, please listen to Yo, Is This Racist? It's my tweets, Instagram. It's Andrew T. Last name is spelled T-I. I know it doesn't matter, but it is all caps.
Cute.
Gotta go all caps.
I love that.
Thank you.
Can't miss it.
Go loud.
I love chatting with you.
Thank you. This was great.
I feel like, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but I've been doing like really cute Instagram posts like about each time I do an episode. And I think that cute vote thing of if you should cut your hair off
or
grow your hair out. Yeah. I feel like that might be the thing that I post.
I'll keep an eye on your Instagram, but I'll abide by the results.
I really want you to grow your hair
whatever
out.
It is.
I think it'd be really pretty.
It's a binding vote. I'm signing the contract right now.
Unless you're doing the Donald Trump rule. You know, where he was like, I'll sign whatever bipartisan thing you guys come up with. I swear to God, like, I'm not going to say, like, I really want this. So, like, I will sign whatever you guys bring to me. And then, like, literally 3 hours later, he was like, I am not signing this.
Yeah. I'm a Donald Trump level liar. So, grain of salt.
Okay. Well, so I will not hold you to that.
Well, you know, you can try.
Thanks for listening to Getting Curious, guys. See you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Getting Curious. And that was gorgeous Andrew T, who we love. If you want to follow him on Instagram, his handle is @AndrewT. It's the same on Twitter. You'll find links to that on whatever device you're downloading this episode on. Also, listen to Yo, Is This Racist? It's an amazing podcast. We love Andrew and thank him again for coming in. Also, our theme music is Freak by Quinn. Thank you so much to her for letting us use it. And guys, if you feel like leaving a review, we love reviews. You want to 5-star it? I'm not going to fight you. Come on, tweet us, Instagram us. Are you curious about something? Maybe you are. I should hope you are. If you listen to all of this and you're still listening to this, I would think you're a curious person. Let me know about what you want me to learn about. Maybe we can book someone cool and get your subject on here. Who knows? Have a good day. Love you. Bye.